All right, Chronicles. We'll see how far we get tonight, as I got a little off track, but I felt like I needed to say that. The Lord kind of put that on my heart this afternoon. 1 Chronicles 29, honoring our father, and we have spent some time on this topic, and we'll read that passage in just a moment. I think I always put it in your handout. I'm not sure, but if not, turn to 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 10. We talked about honoring God. We talked about when God's word is weightless, when God's word is not weightless. And then we looked at King David couldn't contain himself concerning his father, and nor should we. And then we went on and we said, why should we honor the Father? And we talked about in previous weeks, because he is almighty, because he is long-suffering, because he is righteous and just. And tonight we'll talk about just this one point, because he is loving. Because he is loving. Isn't it wonderful to know that we do have a God that hates sin, but we have a God who loves us. We serve a loving God. So let's read our text and we'll go a little further and talk about because he is loving, and this is why we should honor the Father. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. In thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thee, thy glorious name. Father, we do ask your blessings upon the reading of or in the praise for it all. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, the brother said this would be read, correct? My should be red. Okay. Sometimes I forget it's supposed to be red. It's supposed to be green. Why should we love the Father? Number four, the fourth point in our series, because he is loving. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, here's a tough question as we read this passage. Where is God's love when I go through storms of life? Where is God's love when I go through storms of life? And sometimes automatically we throw up those signs and we question God's love. And dear friends, the bottom line is God does love us, but he doesn't go around protecting us from every little thing that comes along. Sometimes those things help us to grow. Look at Isaiah chapter 43. Did I put that in the notes as well? Okay, Isaiah 43 verse 1 and 2. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, notice that again, thou art mine. For when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindled upon thee. You see, in one sense, you could say that God loves us too much to keep us from the storms. He loves us too much to keep us from the storms. And because he loved us or loves us, he cannot leave us in the storm. And so often we look for a way out, a way around, when often we just need to reach out for the hand of God and just walk through the storm. Storms strengthen us. They help us. And sometimes we go through more than our share and things to be difficult, but God has promised us that he loves us and he will be with us. And because of that love, we should honor him. It was because of God's love that he led his people out of the wilderness and into the promised land. If he didn't love them, he wouldn't have led them into the conflict they were about to face. He led them. But he knew that he would lead them through the conflict, not just into the conflict. One of the most well-known, most loved verses of all times helps us understand this, and we all memorize this as a young person, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He loves us. And dear friends, sometimes we go through the storms of life, but instead of looking for a way around, a way out, or complaining about why me, how about saying, Lord, go with me through the trial? I know I have shared this illustration. I think I have. I've shared it so many times through the years with different messages. But the one way that I learned this was one day visiting my grandmother Cook, who's in heaven now, Catherine. And we were sitting there, and every time I come through, I was home on a furlough, was traveling through the area, I'd always go by and see her. In my younger years, she would have biscuits and cornbread in the oven. Always loved to go by and get some fresh milk from the cow, probably milk that morning or the day before. Nothing like it with a good biscuit and cornbread. But in her latter years, she wasn't able to do as much, and I knew she liked Kentucky Fried Chicken. I would go by and grab a bucket and say, "Grandma, I'm coming by. I'm going to spend the afternoon with you, me and Michelle." And I remember one day sitting there, and she started laughing as she looked out the window. She said, in her little recliner where Grandpa used to sit before he passed, and looking out the window, she said, "I don't want you to say anything, Junior, and I'm named after my father, but I want you to come and look at something." So I got up and looked out, and my son was out in the yard doing this to the electric fence. And I snickered. I was getting ready to say something. She said, "Junior, no, this is a good lesson. It won't kill him. It'll sting a little bit. It really won't hurt him. But I told him not to mess with that fence." Now, as a loving father, I could have banged on the window and said, "Tim, don't do that." But instead, my grandmother, and I still had great fear and love for her, said, "Be quiet." And so after a few times of this, exactly, he decided, he grabbed a hold of it and held on to it a little too long. He let go real quick. The loving father wanted to warn him. But at the same time, I realized something now. Since then, and to my knowledge, he has never played with electric fence again. Never. He adheres to warning signs that says electric fence. He will tell everyone around, "Hey, that thing will bite you. Don't mess with it." Sometimes the Lord has to allow us to go through some things, number one, to get our attention, sometimes to remind us that He is in control and He does love us. And we do sometimes, and I can't explain, I won't even try to explain the sovereignty of God and why He does the way things He does, but I'll tell you this, I trust Him. I trust Him. And dear friends, because of that, we need to remind ourselves, why should we honor the Father? Because He is loving. When we were born, we did not choose our fathers. However, after we were born, we had an opportunity to submit and choose our heavenly Father. And I know and trust and pray that there'll be many more people who will choose to repent and turn to Christ. And dear friends, the bottom line is before today, again, is what we are choosing. I've told my daughters, I've told other teenagers, I've told other people, hey, you can't pick your parents. But God did make no mistakes when He placed you in that home. It may be difficult and it may be hard, but we serve a loving God who loved us first. When we were born, again, we did not choose our fathers. However, after we were born, we chose our second father. We are born with a wicked, worldly father called Satan. And we need to remind ourselves, becoming a Christian does not make us immune to sin. I don't know about you. I have been hurt more deeply by other Christians, and if we're going to be honest, by family members. It's the one closest to us that we don't expect that hurt the most when things happen. But by the grace of God, I pray, and I trust you pray, that we are never guilty of being that Christian that hurts other Christians. But when we are, we can do the right thing and make it right when and as needed. John 8:44. "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Boy, is that not straight to the point? He is. He is a liar and the father of it. We cannot trust him. He will whisper in our ears. He'll do all that we can. But we have to remind ourselves we have a heavenly father who loves us. And we have that worldly father, Satan, who is not our father any longer because we are a child of God. But it does not keep him from still wanting to mess with those who have followed the Lord Jesus. "I was placed by God's goodness in my physical family, and I have chosen by God's grace my spiritual family. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Dear friends, pray daily that your children, your family members, and your friends will choose God as their father. I am so grateful to have a church family. I love my family. I love my brothers and sisters. I love my mom and dad. But if I'm going to be honest with you, there's other men in my life, there's other folks in my life that have filled a void for me in my walk, in my life for Christ, that my family could never fill. Maybe they tried, maybe they didn't, but we're not on the same page on some things. I've got friends and family members that I'm very close to family. And I've got friends that I'm even as close to as if we were brothers. And the same with Michelle, raised in a Christian home. All of her siblings are in ministry, but she still has friends outside of those that are so close. When she was in the hospital, having that surgery, having some rough nights, she called a dear friend of hers who was a member of our church in Germany, who was also a nurse, and wanted to talk with her on the phone just to encourage her and help her to make sure she wasn't asking, requesting something she shouldn't as a patient, because she trusted her and they were close and she knew she could tell them anything. I've got friends the same way. I've got other men who are not even necessarily pastors who I trust with any dark secret that I could ever think of or have. Other preachers in the same way. And dear friends, our church family is important. And we should be protective of it and loving and encouraging, because we are family. Again, 2 Corinthians 6:18, it says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Psalm 106 and verse 48, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen, praise ye the Lord. Now, when we look back, and I'm going to try to wrap this up, and I'm getting a little off back to where I was before, and I hope you've been able to follow me. The key gist really I wanted to point is that we do serve a Heavenly Father, but just as loving as He is, Satan in the world is the direct opposite. And as we talked about this morning, Judas was not a believer. He was possessed. You cannot be a believer and be possessed of the devil. It just can't happen. It's not biblical. There's biblical theology that proves that and doctrine that proves that. But people can pretend to be something they're not. In fact, I think Christians and believers can be manipulated by Satan, but not indwelled or possessed by Satan. And if we're not careful, we allow the devil to deceive us and to trick us into things, because we need to understand it's not logical. Some things don't make sense, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But look again back in John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus identifies our problem here in verse 44, and he also in the previous verse 43, but we won't turn there tonight. He identifies our problem. They were spiritually deaf. The second key problem was their father was the devil. We live in a world, a lost world, that their father is the devil. We should not be shocked, though we are, of what's going on in the world today. And even though we have to live in this world, we don't have to allow the world to live in us. The old saying is, the ship is safe in the ocean as long as the ocean is not in the ship. We're safe in this world, but we need to be careful not to allow the world in our hearts, in our minds, in our church. You know, my pastor used to say, hey, anything we do in this church, if it reminds you of the honky-tonk or the club downtown, we need to get rid of it. Because it shouldn't remind us of worldly things. This is the house of God. It is to be treated with love and respect and with reverence. We're here to worship. We're here to encourage. We're here to hear from heaven and not to be reminded of the things of the world. But that's exactly what Satan does. Oh, just a little bit. Know the old saying, I mean, if I have a glass of water up here and a dropper of arsenic and say, okay, who wants a glass of water? How many of y'all would like, okay, how about one drop of arsenic? Okay, how about two? You know, where do you draw the line? I just rather go get my water somewhere else. But you know, that's what we're doing when we play with the world and we begin to entertain some things. And that's what's happened with our world today. We see a lot of these churches blowing up. They have forgotten this aspect of how much God loved them and loves them and given himself for them, that they decided to go the way of the world and not keep things pure and Christ-like. And they're allowing things in. Things take place. The music changes. The stage is black and darkened out. And begin to wonder, I think this looks more like another place than it does church or heaven. Come on now. And that's exactly where the world is going. I don't want to go in that direction. Now, I enjoy good Southern gospel music. I enjoy getting happy, getting excited about the things of God. But we need to remember, we serve a loving God. And because of his love toward us and what he's done for us, there's some things that we should strive to preserve because of what he has done for us. We have a spiritual father too. And it's either Satan or it's God. And if you are without Christ, your spiritual father is Satan. Some will say, hey, but preacher, I'm a good person. Satan's not my father. That's what the Bible says if you're not a Christian. God calls our goodness, even as believers, iniquity, and our righteousness is like filthy rags. I mean, hey, don't misunderstand me. We want to be good. We want to serve the Lord. But when it gets right down to righteous and holy, we cannot do that day in and day out because we live in a body of flesh and blood. But we are to strive to do what we can. Matthew chapter 7. Again, God calls our goodness iniquity and our righteousness like filthy rags. Matthew 6:21-23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And then again in Isaiah 64:6, but we are not all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, I mentioned earlier, and we all do and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Dear friends, we as believers are not immune to temptation. We're not immune to those things in the world. And though we live in the world, we need to remind ourselves, hey, God loves me. Because he loves me, I'm going to honor him. I'm going to live a whole life purely separate unto God the best of I can. And when I fall into sin and I do something I don't wrong and the Lord reminds me, I'm going to do myself to get up and leave and go the other direction. My son today will tell you, I'm telling you, don't put your hand on that fence. I don't care if they said they turned it off. It might be on. He learned his lesson. And we need to do the same thing. We need to be reminded, sin will take you farther than you want to go. And we need to do all we can to protect our family, for gentlemen, to protect ourselves, and to protect our church from those things. Because we need to understand, there's no logic in it. The world is going to do what the world does. Let me give an example with a little fable here. I know you know it, but let me tie it into the end. A scorpion, being a very poor swimmer, asked a turtle to carry him on his back across the river. Are you mad? Exclaimed the turtle. You'll sting me while I'm swimming and I'll drown. My dear turtle, laughed the scorpion, if I were to sting you, you would drown and I would go down with you. Now, where is the logic in that? You're right, cried the turtle. Hop on. The scorpion climbed aboard and halfway across the river gave the turtle a mighty sting, and they both sank to the bottom. The turtle resigned, said, do you mind me asking you something? You said there is no logic in your stinging me. Why did you do it? It has nothing to do with logic, the drowning scorpion replied. It's just my nature. Folks, we live in a world today, in a sinful world, it is their nature to sin and to go the way of the devil. And as believers, we need to make sure that we're completely different from them. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. The world should know there's something different about us. And it all circles back because God loved us enough to send his son to die for our sins. And if he is willing to die for us, we should be willing to live for him. We all have a sin nature. Without Christ, we will do what is naturally sinful because our spiritual father is the devil. Sin's power can only be broken through the power of Jesus Christ, dear friends, which is obtained by faith in him for salvation. Friends, let's pray for one another and do all that we can to honor our Father as we serve Him together. Because we're in this boat together. And we should strive to love, encourage, and uplift one another. And remember that any single one of us at any time is subject to fall into sin. And that's why we should pray for one another and be ready to give the hand up in the encouragement and accountability when it's asked for. Let's pray for one another and do all we can to honor our Father as we serve Him together. I've said this before, and we'll close with this thought and one more. No Christian, no man, no woman, no pastor, no missionary, no evangelist ever woke up and said, I'm going to ruin my life today and embarrass my family. It just happens, and usually over a process of time. And that's why it's so important. So I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I'm going to try to do better. But I'm going to ask you a question with no one raising your hand. Other than church today, church this morning, church last Sunday, and church last Wednesday, have you read your Bible? Have you spent time in prayer? If you struggle with something, have you asked somebody to give you accountability? Have you asked somebody to ask me on a regular basis, are you reading my Bible? Are you reading your Bible? I have not been able to go on my prayer walk as much as I've wanted to over the last several weeks before Michelle with my foot, but I have prayed and I have driven by, and I've had some men ask me, Pastor, how's the prayer walk going? You know, those are the kind of accountability that we need to give one another and ask one another. Not just the guys, but ladies, you as well. Are we reading the Word? Are we encouraging others? Are we looking around for the opportunity to mentor another person in the church? And by the way, mentoring does not always mean that you're old and they're young. It has a lot to do with being the age of which you are in Christ, not your physical age. Are we mentoring? Are we encouraging? Are we asking for accountability if and where we need it? Are we too ashamed? Are we too afraid? Dear friends, I'm going to tell you, why is it times that we'll go to the doctor because we're concerned about our health or what may be coming around the corner, but we don't take the same concern about our spiritual health? You have a pastor. You have watch care deacons. You have family within this church who loves you and cares for you, and we should be able to rest in that and ask for and get the accountability we need when we feel that we need it. And we all need this one set of accountability. There's nothing wrong with us asking one another, hey, how's your Bible reading going? How was your devotions this morning? What's your prayer life like? There's nothing wrong with that. And we should do that we might help each other. Why? Just like the scorpion said, it's the nature of the world. And dear friends, though we be saved, the flesh, the sin nature, will pop its head up once in a while. But we need to be prepared to play that whack-a-mole. And sometimes we need to play it with and for each other, that we might encourage one another. The sinful world needs experience that we have, that experience of knowing the love of God, the love of God and a loving church family. I am so glad and so happy to be a part of Harvest Baptist Church. Whether I'm a member or whether I'm the pastor, I'm honored to be the pastor, and I can say without any reservations, I love you, and I want you to thrive in the Lord. I want you to overcome any difficulties you have. I want you to have the backbone to ask one another and encourage one another and give accountability and not be afraid to ask and say, hey, I need prayer. I'm the worst. The doctor is for sick people. I limped around on my foot for the longest time before my wife simply said, either you're going to the doctor and call in and make an appointment, or I'm going to make one for you, or you're going to sleep on the couch. Now, that wasn't really going to happen. That was an empty threat, but she was that serious. She was that serious because she wants me to take care of my physical health. Come on, ladies, you've got men as well, sometimes put things off. And if we will put off the physical man, if we're not careful, we'll put off the spiritual man as well. And that sometimes it's good to have that wife, to have that husband, to have that person to encourage us and to make sure that we're in the Word. Ladies, gentlemen, also don't be afraid to ask your spouse, how's your devotion life going? How's the prayer life going? Encourage them. Encourage one another. Folks, I don't know about you. I don't know when the Lord's going to return. But I know, do know this, until he does, the devil is not going to give up. He's not going to give up. So we need to be more concerned about loving him, loving one another. And let's do our fighting and our battling on our knees and the things of the world and not each other. And I'm not saying we're doing that. It's something we need to put in our pipe now and to keep it for all eternity. Is that our goal is to love, to encourage, and remember, I serve a loving God because he first loved me. He gave his life for me. I need to be willing to live for him. And let's not look some things just as being logic. The world is going to do what they're going to do. Was I shocked when I read the news when I got out of bed early Saturday morning and had my coffee and turned on the headlines? Yes, I was shocked. But in many aspects, it didn't surprise me. It is the world that we live in today. We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for those Americans that have been taken hostage, the Americans and the Jews as well that have been killed. We need to do our part, but we also need to be on guard and remember, because he loves me, I will honor him. And I honor him by serving him and serving others. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and the blessings and joy of fellowship and service. And Father, I mean this with all of my heart. I love my Heavenly Father. And Father, I love my family. And I love my church family. Father, help us to love and encourage and strengthen one another. Help us to remember there's no logic in what Satan and the world does. And Father, the best way that we can be prepared is to remember how much you love us. And because of your love for us and toward us, Father, we can love one another and serve you. Father, help us now as we go our way, time of fellowship after the service, our work week that's coming, our school week that is coming. Father, help us to glorify you in all that we say and do. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. Anything I can do to be a help, please don't hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you.